This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
All right. We go from one X receiver and Ja'Marr Chase, who I'm saying is the best of the best, to Christian Watson, who is I struggled mightily to stay on the field. And health has been a major concern for him. And it continues to be a major concern going into 2024. I will ask you this, Matt, because what we saw in 2022 versus what we saw in 2023 with Christian Watson is that basically all his numbers across the board came down. And obviously, Watson defenders will say, well, that's probably injury related. So I will ask you, how much of it do you think is injury related, and how much of it is just the league is starting, you know, can figure out players like this pretty quickly?
You know, I had somebody ask me a question about the numbers in Christian Watson's profile and everything. And they did admit later in the conversation, I'm a, you know, big Packers homer. So like, that's why they were asking this question. So keep that in mind. But we had a good discussion about it. Like, you know, could this just be that, like, he doesn't have these good numbers here because of the hamstring injury?
Right.
And you know, I said, like, that's not a completely off base. Like, that's not a worthless theory is kind of what I like. It's a possible theory. It might be a good theory. The only thing that I would say is that, you know, he's been this player, which basically, like, to spoiler here, the numbers are not good for Christian Watson. He's sub 30th percentile against man, zone, and press. He was a little bit better against zone as a rookie, but I think I have a different explanation other than health for that. But, like, he's just basically been like not a technician, not like a full field separator in college. He wasn't as a rookie, and he wasn't in his third year. And now, is it possible that because of this whole, like, he has 20% more muscle mass in one leg than the other, and that's why he keeps, you know, messing up his hamstring or whatever the whole thing is. You know, could that all be like an explanation for it? Like, I can't say no, right? I can't say that because I don't know, right? I can't say that that's not the reason for this, but all I can do is tell you what the film looks like through the first 2 years and again back to college for his career. And we've just seen this guy be like a raw route runner and a raw technician throughout the entire course of every time I've looked at him for Reception Perception. And I do think it's funny, like, to speak to some of the Christian Watson defenders, because there are some people that have a very high opinion of him as a player, and like they'll tell you two things. When he, you know, number one, yeah, obviously the injuries, but when he's on the field, he's been great. I mean that's just verifiably, like, not true, even Reception Perception wise. Like, you look at his just look at his stats last year. He has three games over 40 yards receiving in the nine games that he played in the regular season. Then you've got like 25 yards, 27 yards, 33 yards, 37 yards, 23 yards, 21 yards. And like all but one of those games, he's playing like a full snap load. So he's out there. And I think obviously it wasn't perfect with Jordan Love all year long. Like, there were some growing pains, but I think we figured out by the end of the year, like, yeah, Jordan Love is a guy. Like, it wasn't necessarily Jordan Love is the problem of this offense. And that's my second point here with the Christian Watson stuff is that, again, people will say, like, when he was on the field, he was their number one receiver. Like, when during this whole that stretch I just outlined there from week four, well, people will say week five to week 13, because week four he was not playing a full snap load. So basically the take is when he's playing a full snap load, he's their number one receiver. And I'm like, maybe that's true, but that was the shittiest stretch that the offense had. Week five to week 13. Like, I mean, yeah, definitely by Thanksgiving, the Lions game there in week 12 and like Kansas City in week 13, they had figured it out. But all the games before that, they're trying to run the offense through Christian Watson, and the offense sucks. Like, the offense is not good. Like, again, just to look at it, when they're running the offense through Christian Watson in that stretch, the team went 3-4 and they ranked 15th in dropback success rate. For comparison, Green Bay ranked 2nd in dropback success rate in weeks 14 through the playoffs when they're running it, you know, through a variety of different players. So, we'll expand on this in a second, but that kind of leads me to my overall thought on Christian Watson, which is like, I think that a less is more approach is how you get the best out of this player.
I feel as if, and I'm like confident in the fact that it's so much of it is touchdown bias, because I will say this,
totally,
this man scores, touchdowns. Good God. I mean, in that stretch that you're talking about from weeks 5 to 13, right? The guy had 4 touchdowns on just 49 targets. That's insane. It just, that's just bonkers. You know, we're talking about an 8% catch rate, or excuse me, 8% touchdown rate. When we're talking about the elite players in this league, again, maybe 7%, maybe 8%, you know, in terms of a touchdown rate. So he's right there in terms of the elite touchdown makers in the NFL. And that's for sure. Can't take that away from him. No doubt about it. But when you start talking about being a dominant player, or being a go-to player, running your offense through this player, that's different. You know, and I think that dovetails very nicely into what you're saying, Matt, and the fact that, again, he's scoring a ton of touchdowns, but maybe less is a little bit more with him. Like, you know, maybe you lull the defense to sleep a little bit, and when the opportunity strikes, you go in over the top, and here comes Christian Watson.
Yeah, because I think that what we see, when we see, we tend to see these guys that are like these big playmakers that create touchdowns, these highlight reel stuff. It's like, well, man, if we just throw the ball to them more, like, we're going to get more of that. But I think there are, with these volatile players, there's a diminishing returns factor, basically. If you throw this guy, the ball like 100 times in a year, you're going to get some big plays sprinkled in, and you can kind of live with some of the low moments. But like, and again, so much of this is, it's, we do this with receivers, we do this with quarterbacks, everything in the passing game, we just look at like the results of something. Like,
of course.
Where, and what I mean by that is like, we look at everything from like a, this is what he did when he was targeted. But this is why it's critical, and this is why I do reception perception. It's also critical to look at the plays that they are not targeted on. And like, why didn't they get targeted? What happened on those plays? Even sometimes, again, some of the targeted plays will tell you the story. And I think that's the deal with Christian Watson, is just like, he is a volatile guy. But like we're saying, also don't mistake us here. Don't get us wrong. Like, this guy brings real value to the field. He's a down, like, you look at his downfield routes and reception perception, and he runs a lot of downfield routes. 68.8% success rate on corners, 61.5% on 9 routes, 80.8% on posts, 74.1% on dig routes. That dig route was a nice little evolution. Like, big overs on play action, you know, 9 routes down the field. Like, he's really good at this stuff. He's also dynamic after the catch, and I think it was a mistake to, this is where I mean the less is more thing. I think they put more on his plate as a true receiver last year. You know, his slant routes go up, his curl routes go up, his out routes go up, in terms of like, we're trying to get this guy to run a real receiver route tree, and he wasn't in space enough. And I think he's always been more freaky in the open field than he is, you know, as a downfield contested catch guy. And like, if you don't remember the fact that like, there were articles written during the season that like, man, Christian Watson on contested catches, it's been really bad. Like, that was the whole thing, and that shows up in the results for RP. 47.1% contested catch rate, and that actually, that did improve as the season went on. But that stretch of games from like Denver in week 7, week 5 against the Raiders, all the way down to like maybe the Chargers game in week 11, he was just almost a stone zero on contested catches. He kind of saved his sample with a couple of highlight reel grabs against the Lions and highlight reel grabs against the Chiefs. So what I'm not sitting here saying Christian Watson needs to be taken off the field. This guy's a bad player. I just think he's a limited player, and the way you get the best out of a limited player is you ask them to do the things he's good at. I think George Pickens is a better player, like a much better player than Christian Watson. But it's sort of similar to that conversation we just had with him, where, you know, people want to let's have him run more routes. Like, no, I want him doing the things he's really good at, and like, continue to do that. Christian Watson's an even more dramatic example of that.
I want to talk about his, you know, dig and out percentages there, and the success rates, because they're just such a stark contrast between 2022 and then 2023, where he took a huge leap in terms of his dig route success rate from 22 to 23. He goes from 67% dig route success rate in 22 to a 74% success rate there in 23, but then just completely fell off on the out route, going from 85% in 22 to 56% in 23. Now, it's a much smaller sample, don't get me wrong, right? We're talking about, you know, 4% route participation in 22 and 7% route participation in 23. So it wasn't a huge part of his game. But that intermediate area, if we're going to ask Christian Watson to be a more complete player, this is where he needs to win. And we talked about that with Jamar Chase just a little bit too. But if you want this guy to dunk in over the top and just, you know, put up these big monster plays on these nine routes or post corners, quarterbacks have to respect the intermediate area of his game as well. And I thought that dig percentage was pretty good. That's success rate percentage, pretty good. 74%. That'll work for me. It's not the best, but that'll work for me. Is that more of a, let me ask you, is that more of a sample size issue? Is it, you know, is this something that he can build on going to 24?
That's a good question. I think he is a guy. I also, like, let's also be real here too. You know, I mean, I think that Matt LaFleur did a great job scheming things open. And like, we're talking about play, like I said, big overs and like dig routes on play action. Sometimes those can definitely be schemed open. Like, these aren't all like player owned metrics, of course, like, especially when we're talking about, again, zone coverage and stuff like that, which is, I mean, why I always care about, you know, Matt, the league is going towards more zone coverage. Why even care about the press man success rates? Because those are the things that, for the most part, players can own and control. And it's a good measure of player talent. Sometimes zone stuff can be schemed up. And I think that's the case with some of these middle of the field routes. But I do think it was a nice bit of development for him there to show that on the dig. My concern with him is not more so in this intermediate area. It's in the short area, because that's been consistently bad through 2 years.
Right.
You know, I mean, slant routes and even the curl routes been in 75% back-to-back years, which is right around average. It's right around average. So,
bro,
it's not.
Can I just soapbox this for a moment? Can we have this man stop running curls and comebacks? Like, I'm just,
I don't need to see him throttle down anymore.
Come on, man. Like, okay, listen. Like, first of all, it'll save your hamstring. Okay, so that's one. Okay, let's just stop. These are not good. These are not good. I don't care that he's league average on the curls. Like, it's just, no, this is not a good portion of his game. Like, and let's just stop having him run these damn routes. I mean, dude, 14% of his route participation was on the curl route. What are we doing here? That is, it doesn't make sense. I didn't see that in his
rookie year. Up from his rookie year.
Why? Why? I didn't see, and tell me if I'm wrong, I didn't see that as a strong part of his game in his collegiate profile. I definitely didn't see that in his first year. I definitely did not see that as a good part of his game in 2023. And yet he's still running so many curl routes, which, by the way, in my opinion, I don't have the total data to back this up, but it's just one of the more dangerous routes that you can throw. If it's not perfectly timed, if there's not great chemistry between the quarterback and the wide receiver, curl routes are so dangerous, man. Like, this is when the DBs can break in on a ball and take one to the cribbo. Like, that's not what I want to see from Christian Watson. Stop it. Packers, stop it with the curl routes on Christian Watson. I'm done seeing these routes from Christian Watson.
I feel you, man. And, you know, you talk about that chemistry last year. Like, that was a big issue. You look at just like the Packers receivers last year. Jordan Love threw 6 interceptions when throwing to Christian Watson across the course of the season. Romeo Doubs was second with 3. You know, and a lot of that was that, by the way, a lot of that is because Christian Watson's not good at the catch point, which is, like, again, why are we having him run sort of these routes where they might be contested, right? If they're not 100%. Perfectly, you know, if they're not perfectly separation routes, that's sort of the thing with him that's a little, it's just a little tough with him as a player, because he's a little, like, you talk about, like, he's a big receiver, but he's definitely not an X. They don't use him as an X, which is good, right? And that's what's so funny about their receiver room, is that, like, that's why they use Romeo Doubs so much, is because he's just kind of that perfect snap eater at the X receiver. I'm obsessed with this idea, James, of, like, as we get to just, like, the worthless X receiver arc. That sounds so mean. But, like, the low usage X receiver, the grass-eating X receiver.
That is
of just, like, Yeah, this guy's on the backside, like, just kind of doing shit over there. And, like, we'll occasionally throw him a tight coverage ball because we need a big play. But, like, as teams like the Packers and some of these smart offenses and the Lions are this way, they're doing so much with, like, we got a slot guy that we do full speed motion with. We got a flanker that we do full speed motion with. And, like, we don't want to design all this stuff for this. Like, you do kind of need just one guy to be on the backside and just, like, doing – like, eating grass over there.
Yeah.
Romeo Doubs is kind of the perfect guy for that. Although, like, if they want to maximize the X position, I think that Wicks could potentially give him some stuff there. But they also like to design full speed motion and over routes with him and stuff like that. So they're just in a funny spot with their receiver room where they have all these intrigue. Like, they have these three really intriguing talents in Reed and Watson and Wicks, who to some degree they cater to or they put in interesting positions. And then they've just got this guy, Romeo Doubs, who might, like, lead the team in snaps, even if he's, like, I think the fourth best player just because he's just going to eat snaps over there at X. Anyways, that's a small tangent about, like, I'm obsessed with this idea lately with the snap-eating X. But I say all that to say that, like, Watson, I think we have to visualize him as a player that needs some of this catering. Like, we talk about, oh, Jaden Reed needs to play in the slot and Jaden Reed needs, like, design. No way. Like, I think Jaden Reed actually can create much more separation and run much better routes right now than Christian Watson. So, like, again, that just sort of complicates the pictures for the Packers receiver, because I think that, like, Watson needs some of this role catering and, like, some of that full speed pre-snap motion to snap plays that they use with Jaden Reed. Like, I think that to get the best out of Watson, this less is more approach I'm talking about, they need to incorporate him on some of those concepts as well.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I think it's interesting the way they use him out of the slot too. It's like it's more of like a speed slot role where they're going to test you vertically with Christian Watson when he lines up in the slot too. There's no real area of the field where he can't just, you know, run a nine, you know, which I think is great. I think that's very smart. So it's smart football. So it's good stuff there. I don't know. Christian Watson, it's an interesting profile because he's not beaten press and his contested catch stuff is not great. He's an outstanding athlete, as we know. I mean, I hate to say he's an elevated MVS, but he kind of sort of is an elevated MVS. I think that's kind of where we are with him, with Christian Watson.
Yeah. Significantly, I would say significantly elevated, just because he can do stuff after the catch where, like, MVS was not that. But,
right.
Yeah, like that volatile, deep threat bucket of receivers.
Yep.
I think that's where he is right now. I don't think, and again, this is all, maybe this is all of these things we're saying, all of these RP data points are just, it's because he's never got a normal hamstring and he's got an imbalance in his legs. I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
Like that's not the case, right?
Right.
Maybe that's the answer.
Right.
He gets he's just doing leg curls and leg extensions and calf raises on one leg all off season long, and his hamstring problems are fixed, and he comes out next year and is like beating man and press and zone at rates we like. Maybe that happens. But so far, through two seasons in the NFL, I don't think there is nearly enough consistent, big capital C consistent, enough evidence on film to say this guy is certainly a number one receiver, or just even like a consistent, you know, outside starter. Like, I think he's a guy that needs role catering, can bring real big value to the offense, and is like a guy you want in your three receiver set. They have other play, like the Packers are in position to be able to do this, to ask less of Morris Watson, because they have too many pass catchers that we know what to do with, right? Like, how do you handle all this room? So, like, they don't need Watson to be like an 8 to 10 target player, you know, at this point. They just need him to be a guy that makes, like, you throw the ball 4 or 5 times at him a game and he makes hopefully more big plays on those than not. And, like, I think that's possible. So that's sort of just the state of the state with Christian Watson. The only thing I outright reject is, like, yeah, when this guy's been on the field, he's been a great player. I don't think that's the case. I think he's been an inconsistent player so far.
Yeah, again, I just go back to, I think it's all the touchdowns, man. Totally. This guy scores a lot of touchdowns on such few targets, and I'm sure people are like, well, if he's scoring 10% of his, you know, touchdowns on his targets, let's just throw him more targets.
Doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that.